Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are talking, now we're going to transition here and talk a little bit of hockey. We're going to go to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Talk to our good friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Mike DeFabo, who covers the Penguins. And, Mike, you know, I thought that Saturday's win, for a lot of reasons, was a really good one for the Penguins, specifically coming from behind against a team that doesn't give up leads all that often. And it was probably, I think, maybe the finest work for the goalie, given all that went into that game. So, I don't know, what were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously it was great to get the win for Sidney Crosby in his 1,000th game. But, you know, it was his 1,000th game, but the Penguins really did not play their best game of the season. And Mike Sullivan admitted as much. But, you know, the goaltender can be a position that can change the shape of the game, just like maybe a pitcher in baseball or possibly sometimes a quarterback. And Mike Matheson, the Penguins defenseman, said flat out that Tristan Jarry was the reason the Penguins won that game, which is obviously a huge confidence boost for Tristan Jarry and a big confidence boost for the team. I have a story coming out here. I'm about to tweet it out in a second. I talked with the Penguins goaltending coach, Mike Buckley, about what he and Tristan Jarry were working on. You know, during that, there was a time there where Mike Sullivan wanted Tristan Jarry to reset, and they basically just gave him some practice time. And a couple of things he pointed out were he said that they were working a lot to try to encourage Tristan to use his lower body more, and so that then his lower body would do the work, his upper body could stay kind of quiet. And then the other thing, he made a golf analogy, Paul. I'm not sure if you're a golfer, but he said that when you swing a golf club, you want to stay down on the ball. And if you lift up your shoulders or you lift up your head, then you're starting to lose your power, you're losing your stability, and you're losing your control. And he said it's kind of similar with a goalie, where Tristan Jarry was kind of coming up when the puck was coming to him instead of staying down on it and working through it. So those were two of the things. And what you're seeing is a more aggressive Tristan Jarry. He's at the top of his crease, challenging people. You're seeing a guy that is his rebound control is much improved. And you're seeing a guy that just looks more like the goalie that the Penguins gave that 3-year extension to this offseason, believing that he would be a true number one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting to watch how he's gotten seemingly better and better every game over the last 2 weeks or week and a half.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things where is it something that you expect to continue?
I mean, we'll have to wait and see. The turning point really for him was, you know, he wasn't even supposed to start. On Valentine's Day, Casey DeSmith was penciled in as a starter, but both Casey DeSmith and Jarry had a little bit of a cold that they were battling. And because Tristan, you know, I guess Casey was pretty sick and Tristan was closer to 100%, they went with Tristan in that one. And since then, that's really been the turning point where if you track his stats back, he has nearly a 9.4 save percentage, which is fantastic. I mean, that's stellar if you can do something like that over that span. So he's done it for 4 games. Now let's see what he does over the next whatever they have. You know, let's see if he can do it for 4 more and then 10 more after that. That's going to be really the big test with him, because he's a guy that I think has played in like 70-something games in his career. Very small sample size at this point. Is he the goalie that was an all-star last year? Is that what he's going to be over a larger sample size? Or is he you know, the guy that got benched earlier this year. And, you know, at this point, I think it's too early to say for sure which one he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, you talk to the goalie coach. I mean, he's got to be at least somewhat happy with the progress that he's seen Tristan Jarry make, right?
Oh, yeah, without question. And the other big thing that he's pointed to, that Tristan Jarry's pointed to, that Mike Sullivan's pointed to, is just the defense has played a lot better in front of Jarry. You know, he allowed 9 goals out of the first 33 shots he faced in Philadelphia, and that prompted Mike Sullivan to pull Jarry and then rest him for an entire week. But 8 of those 9 goals were of the high danger variety, according to Natural Stat Trick. And that's just a metric that basically measures how close the shot was taken to the net. And so some things that have been a point of emphasis for the team defensively, just boxing guys out, taking away sticks, things like that. And so, you know, playing better in front of Tristan Jarry is also just as important as Jarry himself. And both of those things have been improved recently.
Do you, what have you seen from Mike Matheson? I mean, he's another guy that suddenly had a revival of sorts these last few games.
Yeah, without question, Paul. You know, the first 2 games of the season, if you were to say what are 2 of the guys that you're most concerned about, it would probably be Tristan Jarry and Mike Matheson. And if you were to say who are 2 of the guys that impressed you most the last couple games, you'd say Tristan Jarry and Mike Matheson. And, you know, the Penguins made a big bet on him when they took on the remaining 6 years of his contract, that he would succeed in their system, being able to use his skill and his speed and his things of that nature. And you're really starting to see that of late. You know, the play he made to score his first goal of the season during the win on Saturday night, he started with the puck behind the Penguins' net and skated it through all 3 zones. I mean, that's something that not everybody can do. And then he had the instincts and the confidence to jump all the way into the slot where Teddy Bluger eventually found him. So he wasn't just glued to the blue line. He was trying to contribute offensively and acting on his instincts and taking a little bit of a risk to do so, and it paid off. And that's really the big thing, I think, with him is there's going to be moments when he has defensive breakdowns. He that is not a strength of his game. And he showed that on numerous occasions, including in the other night's game. But if he can outweigh that with some moments like the one you saw there, or moments like he had a great play in the first game the most recent game against the Capitals, where he traded places with Sidney Crosby and then eventually found Brian Rust for a backdoor tap-in, basically, where Matheson did all the work. Or, you know, he made a really creative play where he, against the Islanders in the first game, where instead of shooting the puck on net, he intentionally shot it wide off the back off the end boards, got the rebound himself and put it on net that created a rebound opportunity and a goal. So these things you're seeing from Mike Matheson, it's not just that he's playing well. It's that he's doing things that a lot of other defensemen cannot do. You know, no matter how much they practice and no matter how much you work with them, there are other guys that just simply don't skate as fast and don't have those kinds of instincts to do those kinds of things. So if Mike Matheson could continue to do that and then cover up some of his warts on the defensive zone, he's going to start to look like a pretty good player for the Penguins.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. And I think the other thing is when you look at it from the way that they're playing, I mean, it's incredible, but it seems like, and you'll be the one that probably can set me straight if I'm wrong, but it seems like Pierre-Olivier Joseph might be the odd man out when Brian Dumoulin comes back, because, I mean, these other guys are all playing really well right now.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see what they do with that left side. Because P.O. Joseph, I mean, he was really, really good to start, and recently he's still been solid, and they do have him playing the top pair for whatever that's worth. I don't know whether that's more so because they believe, you know, typically you would play your best lefty in that kind of a role, but I don't know whether that's so much that, or it is they believe that playing alongside somebody like Chris Letang, who's their top righty, will help the newcomer. I'm not sure which one it is there, but yeah, I'm really fascinated to see. I think it's probably, you know, Brian Dumoulin's the guy who's going to come back. Mike Matheson's playing well enough to keep his job. So it's really going to be between P.O. Joseph and Marcus Pettersson. And, you know, as we've discussed, I think, before, Paul, eventually they're going to have to figure something out here because these guys are signed. There's still many more years left on many of their contracts. So if there's what was such a position of concern earlier in the year when they were so injured is now arguably their greatest position of depth. And so a trade at that position group seems very much on the table at some point, whether that's soon or whether that's this offseason. They're going to have to do something because there's a serious logjam with five lefties competing for three spots.
Right. I mean, obviously that's going to be, you know, that's going to be something they're going to have to figure out, but it'll be a good problem to have. On the other end, we've seen some, you know, different things happen. Is it a bad sign for the future or just sort of a one-game type thing that Kasperi Kapanen was sort of benched the other night?
Yeah, you know, he started the game on the top line with Sidney Crosby. He went from the top line to the fourth line to practically nailed to the bench. He had his least amount of ice time that he's had since, you know, the first couple games when he just arrived from Finland and they were trying to manage his minutes. And he had just one single shift in the third period, which says something. And then Mike Sullivan, who almost never will criticize a player publicly, even if you do your very best to lead him down that road and ask him a specific question, he went about as far as Mike Sullivan will go to say that he wasn't happy with somebody saying that he didn't think that Kasperi Kapanen was really bringing it that game. And I asked Mike Sullivan about it today, and he said that he and Kasperi Kapanen had a discussion. He feels they're on the same page. And at practice, Kasperi Kapanen was right back on that top line next to Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. So that's the role that the Penguins envisioned him playing when they gave up a lottery pick, basically, to acquire him. So now I'm very curious to see how his season unfolds from here. You know, this is – it's almost as if he's approaching a bit of a crossroads here where he has a significant opportunity playing next to Crosby. And now it's a question of if he can succeed in that role or if the Penguins start to find a different solution at that position.
Have you started to see some signs of life from Evgeny Malkin?
That's a tough question. I guess not too much, to be honest with you. He had an assist in the most recent game, and it was a cool moment, you know, considering it was Sidney Crosby's 1,000th game. You know, his buddy, Chris Letang scores it, Evgeny Malkin assists on it, and Sidney Crosby himself had the secondary assist, and those three guys came together. You know, it was a cool moment there. But later on in the game, Evgeny Malkin made what should have been a pretty routine pass, and instead he put it into the skates of Jason Zucker. That sent the Islanders the other way on an odd man rush, and it ended up with Mike Matheson and the puck in the back of the Penguins' net. So, you know, they've put Brian Rust back on that line with Malkin, and the thinking there is that they had so much chemistry last year, they've got to do something to try to reignite Malkin, and it came at the expense of breaking up what was a great line, because when Rust was alongside Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel, that was one of the best lines in hockey. So Mike Sullivan took a bit of a risk there and made a little bit of a sacrifice on the top line to try to get Evgeny Malkin going. You know, we got to see what happens here with him. And to me, it's just frankly puzzling. I cannot figure out what's going on with him, because if Evgeny Malkin was healthy the first month of last season, he legitimately might have won the Hart Trophy. Like, he was that good the rest of the season. So, you know, I don't know where it went. I don't know what happened this offseason. I don't know what the reason is behind it. And to be frank, I don't know if he's going to get it back or not as the season continues. I mean, he's a good enough player that I don't know why he's struggling. I don't know why he would continue to struggle like this. But at the same time, I've felt for the last couple weeks that he should be coming out of this, and he still has just shown flashes more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, he's obviously a great player and, you know, a big part of what the Penguins do. It just, you know, it just feels like everybody's sort of waiting for him to have this breakout. My only thing is, what if it doesn't happen, or what if it never comes this year?
Yeah, then they're going to have to really make some tough decisions. So he has one more year left on his contract after this one. And so, you know, they're going to have to make some really critical decisions this offseason. Do you want Evgeny Malkin to be part of – do you want him to retire a Penguin? You know, that's the question. So do you go into this offseason looking to extend him, or do you go into this offseason looking to trade him? Do you go into this offseason letting him play out this final year and then let him walk in free agency? These are all the really important questions that Ron Hextall and Brian Burke are going to have to answer. And they've admitted themselves that their philosophy is they want to let this year play out. They're not going to dramatically shake up the core, but they've basically said that they're going to take a very critical look this offseason. And it sounds like big changes could be possible. I'm not saying that Malkin will be the guy, but I think that it's realistic to think that there will be some important pieces of this team that aren't here come next season.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking some time and breaking it down. And, you know, it's a big week for the Penguins. They've got the game, you know, the two games with the Capitals coming up here. Those are always fun games, and, you know, it's interesting, but it really looks like it's a completely contrasting style of game nowadays. The Capitals are a little slower, bigger, and more physical. The Penguins are really fast. So that makes it kind of interesting, because whoever gets to dictate the terms of the game will probably win it.
Yeah, definitely. Mike Sullivan, you know, the Penguins started practice today actually working on zone entries and their play in the neutral zone. And with the Capitals, their new coach, Pierre Laviolette, he's installed this new system that he's run throughout that's more similar to what the Islanders run than what the Capitals have done in the past. And it's a system where they'll have three guys lined up across the neutral zone, and they'll put the Penguins in a tough bind there, because it's hard to skate the puck through the neutral zone and gain the zone that way. But at the same time, if you dump the puck in, they have a guy cheating back, and they have so many big bodies with the way they're constructed. They're one of the best teams in terms of getting back to the puck before you and getting it back headed the other direction. So neutral zone play in particular is going to be, and making good decisions in the neutral zone is going to be a key against this style of a team.
Yeah, and that'll be the key. Mike, I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Mike DeFabo of the Post-Gazette. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.